Welcome to Living as a Disciple podcast. We live in a post-Christian culture, so how can we be and make disciples of Jesus? Discover it with us as we talk, brainstorm, and show you ways to be a disciple that makes disciples in today's culture. With you today, your hosts, Randy Nelson and Micah Johnson.
Welcome, everyone. Not to date our podcast at all, but we're kind of entering into a colder season. We're recording in the northern part of the United States in the great state of Minnesota. We got a little bit of snow yesterday, and everybody had that fun first time driving on the slippery highways experience yesterday. But it also brings us up to the holidays, where we're soon on specifically Thanksgiving, and then Christmas is right around the corner too, and the Advent season, which is always a fun time anticipating the coming of Christ. So fun times to get together often with family and friends, both during Thanksgiving and Christmas. Do you have any cool memories of getting together, or do you have any plans, I should say, of getting together with family and friends coming up these holidays?
Absolutely. Like you said, we often think when we think holidays, right, it's getting together with family. And I have some great memories, as well as I'm looking forward to getting together with my kids. They're kind of spread out over multiple states, and looking forward to being all together for a time here.
Absolutely. Yeah, I as well have family coming in from other states that, sadly, just with the busyness of life and careers and family and all of that, you just often don't get to see everybody as often as you'd like to. And so it's always fun to get together around the holidays, and just the fellowship time, getting caught up on kids' lives and brothers and sisters, siblings' lives and grandparents' lives and, you know, whomever else that may be in your life. But then there also comes the reality of you have to say goodbye. You know, we have really fun times. Maybe you have times where you like to play games with the family members. I often remember just sitting up late at night playing games with my grandparents growing up when we'd get together. And those were memorable times where we'd stay up till 1, 2, 3 in the morning playing games before we'd go to bed. But eventually you have to say goodbye, right?
We want to try and stretch it out as far as we can, don't we? My wife is from Minnesota, and she taught me about the Minnesota goodbye, which apparently can last 2 to 3 hours, I guess. You know, you got to wave them out the door and then down the driveway, and then until you can't see the car, you got to wave all the way through. And you're right, it's sad to say goodbye.
Absolutely. Kind of reminds me of church goodbyes too, where you try to get out the door, but you got to say hi to everybody out the door, and so you got the kids hanging on you saying, hey, we got to go home because there's food or football or whatever. It is hard to say goodbye, especially when you know that the people you're saying goodbye to, you may not see them for a while,
right?
You know, if they live in a different state, or there's people I get together with family from other countries from time to time, and sometimes it's years before they see them again. And then there's even the sad reality that there are very real situations where you say goodbye to somebody and then something devastating happens and you never see them again. We don't want to necessarily focus on that this evening, but it is a reality that saying goodbye, whether you live down the road or across the country or in a different country, it's always hard to say goodbye. But that actually brings us into kind of what we want to talk about in our Living as a Disciple podcast, focusing on the last part of that Great Commission. Jesus had talked to his disciples. He had lived with his disciples through his earthly ministry. And now it's finally coming to that apex of his earthly ministry. And he closes with that phrase, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." It's kind of that final goodbye.
Yeah.
But yet he's still saying he's going to be with them. So as we kind of close up our brief look at the Great Commission over these last few podcasts, we want to close with that. "And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." And in this podcast, we're specifically going to be discussing, in a very brief way, all that that statement kind of means.
Yeah.
And why we can find encouragement in the most difficult of situations. And as we go through our daily lives, how we can live in light of, behold, I am with you always.
You know, as we wrap up this look at this really important passage, you know, we call the Great Commission, it is really heartwarming to think of it that way. And I like how you mentioned and tied that in with, you know, the emotions that we feel, right, when our family is leaving and we don't know if we'll see them again or when we'll see them again. And that's really what's certainly in Jesus' heart, because they don't know what's coming, but he knows that he's about to ascend into heaven. He's leaving, and his words to them here are just so powerful, and great words for us to hang on to ourselves today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we talked about it before too, where it's earlier on in that passage. I believe it's verse 17 of Matthew 28. Where the disciples had gathered, they're worshiping him, but it even calls out that some were still doubting.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And I think it's so cool how, as we kind of dive into the context of this final phrase that Jesus said, he says, behold, I am with you always. And he uses that terminology, I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I am, he may have just mentioned it in a fleeting thing, but I like to believe that it had a deeper meaning.
Oh, I think
so.
To
the disciples, because that phrase, I am, is the same phrase that Jesus referred to multiple times in the Gospels. And as you're seeing disciples there who Scripture says they were still doubting, he brings it back to how he described himself numerous times throughout this earthly ministry.
It's interesting you bring that up, because it kind of stood out to me this week as I was preparing. Just the great word, encouragement, to see how throughout Scripture, how God has repeatedly revealed himself to man for the purpose of bringing comfort and assurance that he cares for us, that he loves us. You know, right from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, one of the wonderful comforts is that God created all of this so he could spend time with us. His greatest desire was to dwell with man. And then, like I said, you know, we could run through lots of passages in the Scriptures, but think of like in the burning bush, right, where God's calling Moses to rescue Israel in Exodus chapter 3. Moses is blown away, trying to figure out what's going on, but asks a great name. What is your name? Okay, I get it. There's a burning bush here. All that. Who are you? And God gives what we come to understand to be his covenant name, I am that I am. It's that Yahweh. A sacred name, but more than that, it's I am that I am. It's an assurance that he does exist. I mean, if you're asking God, who are you? What I am is a great, wonderful comfort and encouragement to know our God does exist. And then over and over again, you know, even like you said, we're coming up on Christmas shortly here, and one of the Advent scriptures we looked at is from Isaiah 7, that prophecy, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Again, affirming that God's with us. And then, sure enough, we see in Matthew chapter 1, when the angel announces his coming, that same text, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then you highlighted, too, that in the Gospel of John, seven times he refers back to that same I am statement, claiming to be God, which is what really set people off. But more importantly, not just claiming it, but giving us some really concrete pictures of what that looks like, right? He says, I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. Think, man, it's hard to be better than that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. All these things, very concrete and real, affirming that he is God, that's who he is. But then more importantly, he backs it all up. He fulfills all these things. When he goes to the cross, he rescues us. That was the whole point of this. It wasn't just to come and comfort us, but he came to pay the price for our sins. He rescued us from sin and death and eternal separation, which is what we were deserving of, which our sins have earned. But he pays that price. He dies in our place, and he's raised again, and making it possible that if we believe in him, we can have that gift of eternal life with him through faith. And then we wrap it up, right? We get to our text tonight here in as he is just getting ready to ascend, these powerful words, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." You know, behold, lo, he's drawing attention. Hey, before I go, this last sentence, don't miss it. Look, he says, I am this, not only God, but I am the same person you've walked with and believed with and camped out with and all this time. I'm going to be with you always, which had to be a great encouragement, but also too, as we know later, the Holy Spirit was coming, that would indwell us as well too. For those of us who believe, God would live with us, and he would speak to us through his word and through his omnipresence, always being around us. God was saying, it's not just that, but I'm going to be with you even to the end of the age, to the very end, which is forever. And what a wonderful comfort for us as we think, you know, just what you were mentioning about, sometimes hard things happen, struggles. We don't know if we're going to see our friends or family again. Hard things happen in our life. But what a wonderful encouragement that God is with us, and he has that encouragement. Sorry, that got carried away there. I just love that passage.
No, that's great. I did want to go back to a little bit of that text in John, or the multiple texts, passages in John. Because, you know, we know in Jesus' earthly ministry, he spoke in parables a lot. And a lot of times every time in a parable, there was kind of some physical implications, and then mm-hmm. there's spiritual implications. And I think we actually see that really coming out as well in these passages in John, where there's a spiritual side of it, and then there's the physical side of it too, because people were understanding, like, just think of these different I am phrases. I'm the bread of life. You know, when we think mm-hmm. of bread, we think food, you know, mm-hmm. as human beings, we physically need food and nourishment. Well, in a very spiritual context as well, we need nourishment as mm-hmm. food. I think about, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd mm-hmm. offers protection. We are definitely a people that need protection, right? And God offers that protection, both in a physical and a spiritual aspect.
Yeah.
I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Boy, if there's any ever a time in our world where people need true direction,
yeah,
it's now. And God says, I am the way, or Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then growth. You know, we need, not only do we need nourishment that grows us, but he says, I'm the true vine. When you think of a vine, you think of a vine that's growing and thriving, and it just goes and goes and goes. If we truly want to be people that are growing and thriving, not just in a physical way, in a spiritual way, we need that nourishment of God's word. So I think it's so cool how Jesus weaves in this I am with very spiritual aspects, but also very physical things that speak to the everyday needs. And that's kind of really what you were saying is, God's not only there just for the spiritual part, but he meets our needs each and every day, even to the point where he came to fulfilling those through his death on a cross, where from a very spiritual and physical need, acknowledging that we are sinners and we need a savior, because there is spiritual ramifications and there's eternal ramifications, knowing that we're sinners in need of a savior, and Jesus Christ came to fulfill that. And I do see that this phrase, "Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age," is really kind of the culmination of all of that. Just a reminder to say, all of this stuff that we've walked through together, everything that I've taught you to observe, everything that you've seen me do, is coming to a head, and I want you to continue to carry it on.
Mm, what a comfort. Yeah, too. And you were mentioning, you know, as we're thinking of the holidays here, how for lots of people, it's really a fun thing. And you know, mm-hmm. as I think back, my kids, my childhood and stuff, there's lots of good stuff. But you know what? For some people, it can be really hard if you lose someone. Someone who dies in the year, and then when you get to the family time and they're not there anymore, or
families who have had job losses, or, you know, it can be stressful in multiple ways. There might even be, I think of families that are going through division, you know, where brothers and sisters or parents don't talk to each other, and it can be, that makes holidays really hard. I can't actually speak from experience because I haven't exactly felt that from a family perspective, other than deaths in families. But there are very real things that can bring some hard times to holidays. And just in general, I mean, not to just focus on holidays, but there are very tough things in life that can make it hard to get up in the morning. You know? And I think that's really why it's so cool that Jesus said, I'm with you always to the end of the age. That's a comfort for each and every day that we roll out of bed, and every night that we lay our head down on the pillow, Jesus is with us and he's there to lead and guide us.
You know, it reminds me of when I was a pastor serving a congregation in St. Francis. It was right before Christmas, and we were working at the food pantry, and I went out with this lady. I was carrying her food, and we were just talking, and she said, you know, Christmas is a hard time for me. Her husband had passed, and this is just a tough time. And it was good just to just talk and say, you know, well, the great news is Jesus, Christmas is about Jesus coming and dying for us. And because of that, we have that promise of eternal life. And it was great. And I just had a short prayer with her, and then she drove away. Well, 20 minutes later, I got a phone call that she had gotten killed. She'd been hit by her sideswiped by a semi, and you never know what that is. And to be honest, this comfort, this word of assurance is, it's more than just a joyful season. It is a promise that can help us in the difficult parts of our life.
Absolutely. Yeah. We don't mean to be like overly morbid on our podcast, but there is a reality there that and we'll get into this in a little bit here. But that end of the age, you know, we're all going to pass away at some point, whether that is before Christ returns or when he returns, our life as we know it here on earth is going to be gone. And, but until that time, we continue to press on and seek to see Jesus glorified. We seek to disciple people. We seek to bring people to Christ. And just that he would work through us. So as we kind of delve in more of the practical side, how we can live as disciples, how do we make use of these truths and promises in our daily lives?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I that's kind of where I was thinking too, is how this does give us real assurance and encouragement that faces the hard things as well as the good things. And the importance of having those practices of affirming that God really does love us, and looking at reminding us that, you know, that God would love us so much that he would, you know, leave heaven and come to earth and die for us. That sets it. When we look at the cross, there should be no doubt how much God loves us. And that's what this passage again reminds us. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am somebody you can trust. And so we have that reminder there. We also have the reminder of his word, the scriptures that anchor us. You know, like I said, this passage, but I think of so many others that we can memorize and hold on to. You know, some of, just thinking off the top of my head, you know, Psalm 46 is just a great reminder to us of how that everything can shake. The world is falling apart, nations crumble, but the earth, the Lord lifts his breath and the earth melts. Our God is greater. Or even the 23rd Psalm, you know, we've been talking about Jesus being our shepherd, And I'm just reminded how, you know, he does promise us those things because God is our shepherd. We know he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he promises that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. To me, that blends in so well with this picture here of this text.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's interesting too how, you know, he specifically says, I am with you always.
Mm.
Meaning he really, Jesus values that relational piece. Not that he's ever going away, but mm-hmm. I was trying to think of it from a different perspective, in the sense that, yes, Jesus is, he is and always will be with us, and yet we tend to live differently, right? We don't always have that front of mind, and we do constantly need to be reminded. I was listening to a pastor preach the other day, and he made reference to Dory, if you remember Dory mm-hmm. from Finding Nemo.
Mm-hmm.
What was Dory's biggest shortcoming? She couldn't remember anything, right? You tell her something and she'd turn mm-hmm. around and forget what you said. I kind of feel like we live like that sometimes.
Hmm.
We need that constant reminder from God's word that he is with us always, because all of a sudden we step out in life and that reminder goes away.
Yeah.
And we start to get stressed and we get anxiety because of things, or or we get, you know, pulled into worldly things and our focus runs away from God, and it should really be on God. Mm-hmm. Just that constant reminder in his word. And I think from a very practical perspective, it's a good reminder for us to be in God's word. You know, when it says hide God's word in your heart,
mm-hmm.
that's a very real thing. We need to be constantly in God's word. We need to be making time to have quiet times with God.
But that's tough for us, right? Because we're busy. Everybody talks about this season, the holidays. It's crazy busy.
Yep.
And the importance, I'm just reminded like this, you know, how important it is for us to have that quiet time,
mm-hmm.
right? To make sure we build. And not just like the world says today about, you know, ooh, you know, you take 10 seconds or 15 minutes and step outside or look at this and that and take a deep breath. Yeah, those things are helpful. But how much more important is it to take those breaks, but then draw near to the God of the universe through prayer, through reading the scriptures and remembering those promises and anchoring ourselves in that reality when everything else seems to be just crazy busy and crashing down around us, maybe even.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think data would and statistics would show we are one of the most busy societies ever. I mean, most busy of any time in history. So we don't often take time to step back and just have a quiet time and take time. And yet, in reality, sometimes it's just us needing to turn some things off, right?
Mm.
So I think about as a dad with young kids, and I've referenced this before in our podcast, it's hard to, you know, as soon as my alarm goes off, or sometimes even before my alarm goes off in the morning, I got kids that are already up and want breakfast. And,
right.
you know, I actually tried for a season of life, you know, and I've shared this with you, Randy, a couple summers ago, I was training for a triathlon.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized in order to train properly for a triathlon, I had to be very dedicated to getting up at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was up at like 5 o'clock in the morning
Ooh.
Trying to train for some of these things. Now, I'm not suggesting to any of our listeners that you necessarily, unless you want to, you can get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do your devotions and prayer. It was actually a great time to get a workout in and also have some time, quiet time with the Lord. But the reality is not all of us are motivated to do that.
Yeah.
But my point is I think there's other areas in our life where we can find some of that time. A couple practical ways that I find is, you know, how many of us get in the car to drive to work and we pop on sports talk radio or ESPN radio or, you know, whatever the case may be, maybe that's a great time to just turn it off and spend some time in prayer, talking to God about our work day, our family life. Maybe there's some other prayer requests that come to mind. You can do simple things like having a prayer time when you're brushing your teeth.
Yeah.
You know, or you're washing the dishes. I've actually enjoyed doing it sometimes when I'm mowing the lawn outside in the summertime when the lawnmower is too loud, so nobody can talk to me anyway. So it's a great time to worship. You know, so you can sing a song or you can pray or whatever the case may be. But we live in a culture that makes it very hard to find those times for margin if we're not proactive about doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's, and you know, one of my favorite things is to, I found it really helpful for me is in memorizing scripture so that when I have those moments, or even when I just feeling, you know, just kind of overwhelmed a little bit or need a break or just a pause, pulling them out of my, in my, you know, that word have I hid in my heart, right? That I will not sin against you. That from the Psalms, we want God's word to come and anchor us again, because there are so many things in this life that want to tear us away from that. And yeah, this passage, you can tell too, for the disciples at the time, it was something they needed to hold on to. And I think it's a great encouragement for us as well too. You know, because of what Christ has done, we know that we're going to live with him forever by faith, right? And his promise to us in these simple words, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," is a great reminder to us that by faith in him, we have that promise that there's never going to be a time we'll be separated from him, even in death, and even as we read there in the 23rd Psalm.
I think that's so encouraging. Well, it can be encouraging, I should say. Maybe to those, some that are listening, it isn't encouraging. Maybe it's kind of a fearful thing as, you know, you look at that phrase, the end of the age. There's a lot of fear that comes with people when it points to death, you know. But for the believer in Christ, death can be an exciting thing, or it should be an exciting thing, because death in this earthly world means eternity with Christ. But we also have to acknowledge that maybe not everybody, like I said, that are listening to this experience that same joy. But the truth of scripture is there is coming an end to the age. And
yeah.
I'm not going to dive into the theology of what the end of the age means. But to me, that, you know, it can be multiple levels. Yes, there's going to become an end to our earthly life.
Right.
And then there's going to be an end to the world as we know it when Jesus comes again. But the encouragement is he's with us up to that point. But at that point, we don't need to worry about whether or not he's with us, because we will be, if we are believers in Christ, we will be with him forever in glory.
Yeah. The reality is when we get to the end, right, there's that promise of eternal life for those who are trusting in Christ. And we don't want to talk about it very much, right, is the promise of judgment for those who reject Christ. And that's really what it is. I know we hear it a lot, right? Why would a loving God send anybody to hell? Well, the truth is, he is a loving God. In fact, he came and died, suffered horribly, that we could have the forgiveness of our sins. We could have that promise of eternal life. And not only is that a comfort for us of who trust in him, but really, it should be a strong motivator for us to share our faith with others.
Absolutely. Well, I think that comes to the heart of why we started creating these podcasts. Mm. You know, it's not meant to be, we've talked before that we're a part of the Association Free Lutheran Congregations. It's a Lutheran denomination. That's great. We're not here to push a bunch of AFLC theology or anything like that. Our true heart is, we want to see people come to Jesus. Yes. We want to see not only people come to Jesus, but also continue to grow in their walk and be discipled by people and go on and disciple other people.
Right.
That's really the heart of it, because the reality is we live in a fallen world, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that still need to hear about Jesus and come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe as you're listening here, you're one of them that has either never experienced that saving faith, or maybe you had it at a certain point and you've fallen away, and maybe you need to rededicate your life to Christ. Randy, you know, at the end here, maybe we could even have a prayer of coming to Christ. I think that'd be a wonderful opportunity, because that truly does bring joy into the understanding of not only is God here with me here and now, but there's an eternity with him that is very much right at our fingertips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's a great, I think that'd be a great way for us to wrap up here. And I agree with you, Micah, that's the whole reason we do any of this, is because we believe this to be true. We believe that there is an end coming, whether it's in our own death or Jesus returns. There is going to be a point where we will face our Maker, God Almighty, and we have his assurance to us that if we place our faith and trust in him, we will live with him forever. It's also a great reminder to us too of, you know, for those of you who are trusting in Christ, the whole point of our podcast really is not only to lead people to Christ, but to be disciples and live as a disciple and to grow in your faith, to grow in your relationship with God, to become an active in your church and to raise your children and loving and trusting in God. And also that assurance that they too will live with Jesus forever. And so that's why we do this, and I'm thankful that what we're doing is more than just do this to do it, but we're doing something with real purpose. If it's right, can I close us in prayer?
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great.
Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, that you love us that much, that you were willing to come. All throughout Scripture, you've made it clear that you are here through creation. Over and over again, you've assured us that you love us and you care about us. I am, you said all those different ways. I am that I am, and I am all these practical things. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life, and all these things that we would know we can trust in you. And then you went to the cross and died for us. You paid that price that we deserve because we're sinners. And because you did, and you took that upon yourself, paid that price, God the Father raised you from the dead. And Lord, an assurance to us that our sins have been paid, that it's been received. Lord, raised you to life, and you walked here on the earth, seen by hundreds. And as we see in our text here, as he moments before you ascended into heaven, reminded us that, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Lord, thank you for that great confidence that can be a strength to us today in joyful times as well as in struggles. And Lord, as we come before you, I know that we don't know who all is listening, but for that one, I pray that doesn't know you. Lord, we come and ask God for your forgiveness and grace. Lord, we ask that you would wash away our sins, that you would affirm to them, God, that just as you promised, they are forgiven. Just as far as east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. Lord, that they now have that promise of eternal life by trusting in you. Lord, I pray for the one who prays that and means it, Lord, that you would confirm that to them in many ways, and I pray even now that they would be wanting to share that with others as well. And for those of us who are trusting in you, Lord, we pray that this would become a greater reality, especially in the holiday seasons, especially whether it's a good time or a bad time, Lord, that we would be resting in you in the hope and promise and the assurance, regardless of when our end is, Lord, you will be there, and you are with us always until then. Lord, again, we just thank you for this promise. Pray now that you would be with each one. And Lord, we just ask these things in Jesus' name and by his power and authority. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Randy. I always appreciate that promise that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. So if you are one that's listening and and you've prayed something similar in your heart, maybe it's the first time you've ever prayed that, you can know with confidence that your sins are forgiven. And we rejoice in that, knowing that we can spend eternity then with Christ as we continue to grow in our walk with him.
You know, I'd invite you too. If you're one someone who did that, I would really appreciate if you would reach out to us, let us know, contact us through our website. Our email address is disciplelife@afLC.org or any way you can. We would love to get in touch with you. And in fact, we have a discipleship manual we'd love to send your way.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great reminder. Well, as we wrap up, we do want to thank everybody that was able to tune in. We appreciate you for listening. We do encourage you to go on our website, as Randy mentioned, subscribe to our podcast, share the podcast. We're on a few different platforms now, so tell your friends about it and share it around the network. And also wanted to acknowledge that there might be people out there listening that maybe don't have a home church. And we do feel that discipleship, church is an important part of discipleship as well, too. So if you're in need of a home church that's a strong Bible-believing church, we'd love to hear from you and point you in the right direction of a church in your area. So,
you know, they can go through our website, too, the afLC.org/evangelism, and contact us there, and that'd be another way we can pass that information on to them.
Absolutely. Thank you all for tuning in. Have a great week.